What happens when the host of a marriage and family show opens the mic up to his own family for a no-holds-barred Q&A? Well, you get the Family Time Q&A podcast, a podcast about family living with actual family members talking with each other. Join us as we tackle issues, have fun, and share memories to help you build a marriage and family that leaves a legacy. Welcome to episode 47. I'm your host, Jerry from TheRealJerryDugan.com, and my guest on today's episode is my Proverbs 31 woman, the rock of to my Gibraltar, and the person who coined the term Emma-whelmed, Olivia. Hey, Olivia.
She's going to be so mad at you.
I'm pretty sure she doesn't listen to the podcast.
I'm going to tell her.
Why are you going to tell her?
Because it's not nice.
But I'm scared of her. That little girl can make a mean face. So... don't tell her, please, please.
I'm going to tell her.
No, it's funny. Emma-whelmed when we have too much Emma. Because for those who don't know Emma, like when you're with Emma, you've got to be mentally on 24/7 practically. Like it's nonstop. She is always thinking. She is always talking. And it's not chit-chat type stuff. Like it's profound. She forces you to think. And she asks lots of questions. She wants you to buy lots of stuff, and you just got to keep your guard up, and you got to keep talking and talking, and eventually it wears you out, and you need like a short little break, or at least Liv does, because Liv spends more time with Emma than I get to, and so to me it cracks me up. Like I could just see it in Liv's face, and yeah, so we're like, are you Emma-whelmed? And she's like, I'm Emma-whelmed. And then Emma, on the few times she's overheard us use that word, she gets mad at us. Don't tell her.
I'm going to tell her.
No, don't tell her.
Emma!
No. Don't call her over. At least let me put this podcast episode up, and then maybe you could tell her.
I'm going to tell her.
No, why? So tell us what you've been up to.
Laundry today.
Yeah, it's a Sunday. It's Super Bowl Sunday, mm-hmm. And you've been doing a lot of laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to yawn, aren't you?
No, I had a little burpee.
Oh, a little burpee.
I was trying not to burp in the microphone, but sorry.
It's okay.
Just dance.
Oh, yeah. Emma got a part.
Yeah, there was the Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
That's true.
And she's a Munchkin this year. Well, this is the first time that the ballet has ever done the Wonderful Wizard of Oz, and so none of us knew what to expect, and we still don't know what to expect. But she got a Munchkin, and... we were kind of a little disappointed / shocked because most of the girls in her class are sprites, like woodland, like fairy sprites. Yeah. And only 4 girls in Emma's class got Munchkins. And so we were kind of questioning why, but we heard that the woman that is the artistic director for the ballet this season kind of chose those 4 girls to kind of be leaders of the Munchkins.
Oh, okay.
So that the younger girls could kind of follow their lead. And
yeah. So there's more than just 4 Munchkins. There's like
32
Munchkins. Yeah. And they're all little kids. And the creative director actually wanted these 4 older students to be sort of a leader for the younger kids and like a role model for them. So it's a really neat leadership opportunity for Emma.
Yeah.
I think.
It seems like she's going to get a lot of stage time, a lot of dancing time. Mm-hmm. So they said, you'll see what we're talking about after the first rehearsal. Yeah. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, it's a huge trade-off. Like the sprites apparently, like that's the role everybody wants, or at least in that age bracket.
Nobody knew.
Yeah, nobody knows.
But since everybody's a sprite, then.
Yeah. But rumor has it, it's not a long part, whereas the Munchkin part has quite a bit more stage time than the sprites.
Yeah.
And so, and again, that leadership opportunity, like Emma has been told she's a good actress on stage. And, that's going to be something the kids that are younger can pick up on. And, again, more stage time. So that should make Emma happy.
Yeah. So. At least her face isn't covered. Like, it wasn't the Nutcracker.
That's true.
Yeah. She'll be able to wear her makeup. She'll be happy about that.
Yeah.
Just sad that her very best friend is a sprite.
That's true.
And her very best friend was Polly Chanel, so they haven't had a role together in over a year now.
Yeah.
So, oh well. Hopefully this year's Nutcracker they will.
They'll still see each other in dance class, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Cool. Gosh. Yeah, we kind of want to get through this so we can go watch the Super Bowl, huh?
Yeah.
Do you have a team that you're rooting for?
Not really.
Seahawks or Patriots?
No.
I think Jacob said he's going for the Patriots. I'm torn because I like the Patriots, but I like the underdog story of the Seahawks and what they bring. So, I don't know.
We will see.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. All right. Shall we transition to the Q&A segment?
Sure.
All right. So, for those who are new to the show, it's called Family Time Q&A, and so there is an element where there's a question and answer, and these are candid questions. So Olivia has a question prepared. I have no idea what it is, and I'm going to give my best answer to that question. Then, of course, I just prepared a question for her, and she doesn't know what it is at all, and she's going to give me her best answer. But, of course, these are questions that I hope give you some insight and help you, just kind of have fun with your family, or apply it to your family, apply it to your life, or share this advice with somebody else who may need it. So, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Do I have a microphone right there?
You do. This is in stereo. So, you got a microphone on your side and a microphone on my side.
Cool. Do I have it on my phone?
You do.
Yeah. I see.
We both have Samsung Galaxy phones, and that's what I'm using to record.
But mine's better now.
You got the S5.
It's so pretty.
I'm surprised I'm not like coveting it. Like, I'm not looking at it like I'm Gollum. I'm like, Gollum. Precious. Okay. Ready for my question for you?
Sure.
Or do you want to go first?
No.
Okay. All right. So my question to you is actually related to, I'm sorry. I just whacked you with my little journal here. I met a guy a couple nights ago, and he shared with me his weekend to remember experience. He and his wife went many years ago, and it wasn't the greatest of experiences for him. And you know, so of course I wanted to know a little bit more. And what he had shared with me was that, the weekend to remember, he said, was great. It was great information. It really set a standard, a high bar for men to strive for when it comes to marriage. The problem was his wife took it as a checklist of all the things he wasn't doing. And she made it a point to let him know that he wasn't living up to these standards. So where the weekend to remember was meant to be an uplifting, encouraging, strengthening experience for him, it wound up being one of those rare cases where it wasn't a good feeling and a good taste in his mouth, because he just had the feeling that he couldn't measure up because of the checklist, basically. His wife would remind him, like, see, you're supposed to do this. They said at the weekend, remember, you're supposed to do this. You're not doing it. So my question to you is, what advice can you give to wives, but also husbands, on how they can get the most out of the weekend to remember, or any marriage conference, seminar, Bible study, or sermon?
What?
Yeah. Or what advice would you give wives about the weekend to remember?
I don't know. I want a Jacob question.
No.
And
go back to our own experiences. I mean, I know, like, you never hit me with a checklist on, like, hey, you're not doing this, and they said that we can remember you need to be doing this. I never got that from you.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything that you took away from We Can Remember that you applied, or that your approach to it, that may be different than maybe this woman's approach?
I just learned, I would say, just to remember that everything is 100-100 in marriages, not 50-50 like people say. Like, you give 50%, I give 50%. Mm-hmm. I give 100%, you give 100%. So while we could, like, use it to have a checklist, I could use it to you to have a checklist, like, you're not doing this or that or this or that. I could use it for myself also. I'm not doing this or that. So
yeah,
just remember, they teach you how to be a more a submissive wife, but, submissive in the, a good way, not
a doormat. Yeah. Yeah.
And just how to lead your family and not, make your husband your number one priority and, listen to what he says and honor him. So
yeah,
it just gives you good things to work on like that.
Yeah. I like that you brought up the 50-50 thing, because really, if you get somebody who is holding a checklist to somebody else saying, hey, you're supposed to be doing this, you're supposed to be doing this, you're supposed to be doing this, it is almost that 50-50. Hey, I did my part. You need to do your part.
Or even they're too busy looking at their checklist that they're not doing their part at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. How are you 100% in if you've got the time to look up and see what the other person's not doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it just tells you how to work as a couple really well.
Yeah.
And
it really does. Yeah.
Compromise and communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if something's going on, then talk about it. And they give you tips on how to communicate without it turning into a big old blowout.
And in Corpus, do you hear who the speaker is?
Yeah, but I don't know.
You don't know who they are?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's Tim and Joy Downs. They were co-authors of... They're also married, but they co-authored a book called Fight Fair. And,
do we have that?
We don't have a... I don't know. We might. I'll have to go through our bookshelves. But yeah, they wrote a book called Fight Fair a few years ago. And it's all about conflict resolution in a way that you can resolve the issues, but also not ruin the relationship. And so that they're going to be the couple that's speaking at Corpus Christi's Weekend to Remember in May of 2015. The other guy is actually, his name is Tony Mitchell, and he and his wife were featured in the Art of Marriage video event. And so, yeah.
Are they both couples going to be here?
No, just Tim and Joy Downs, uh-huh. And then Tony. But chances are he'll bring his wife too, uh-huh. And that'll be neat. I'm going to be all starstruck and want autographs when we
we're
serve
gonna have to get the book.
Huh? Yeah, we might have to get the book. I might have Tony sign the Art of Marriage kit. I might.
You probably will.
I
stop
probably,
even saying might.
Yeah, might, whatever. I'm going to show up with a Sharpie. Hey, Tony, can I talk to you for a second? Yeah, yeah. I got this Sharpie here. And
at least wait until Saturday. Like Saturday.
Friday night, man.
No, Jerry. You're gonna mess
Friday
up his...
Friday night.
You're going to mess up his zone. You need to wait till like Saturday, right before date night or something.
Oh, man. No, because I think Sunday he's going to be more worried about getting through the event.
Not Sunday, on Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. Yes. That's true.
Right
yeah.
before date night.
I don't know, he might be too tired. Yeah, that might be.
You're showing the audience that you don't listen.
I do. I really want to ask on Friday.
You're going to mess up his zone.
Okay, I won't mess up his zone. Okay.
I say no.
Okay. What about Tim? He's probably used to it. Can you sign my book?
Would you want somebody to mess up your zone before a major speaking engagement?
You know my ego. Yeah. Mr. Jerry, I like your topics. I've heard you speak before. You're amazing. Can you sign my shirt? Yeah, sure. And then that'll just pump me up a little bit more.
Stop. That's never happened.
Yeah, it's never happened. But if it were to happen, I think I'd welcome it. Actually, in reality, I get so nervous before I speak in public that I'd most likely be backstage anyway, pacing up and down until the carpet wears out, praying, going over my topic, and people wouldn't see me until after the event anyway.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
But
is that a good answer?
That was a good answer. I really, going back to that 50-50 versus the 100-100 approach, yeah, because if you're 100% all in, you're focused more about what you bring to the relationship as opposed to what you're getting out of the relationship. And you're not looking at it from an equity standpoint like, hey, you know, I did all this stuff and this guy just sits around. Now, if you have one person who is all in and the other person's not as committed, you're going to notice. It's gonna feel like things aren't going right. But when both parties in that couple are all in, they're giving it their best. I personally think that you have a couple that has a lot of grace for each other, and you know they forgive each other, or they're like, hey, you know what, Olivia just did laundry all day for me. I'm gonna wash her car today. You know, because that's part of why it's like, yeah, we can wash mommy's truck today. So
Drive a truck.
You drive a truck.
I don't.
We could always trade.
I want a cute little dainty car.
Okay, we'll get a cute dainty car.
Yours is not cute or dainty.
No. It has Altima in it. It says Altima.
All right, are you ready for your question?
Yeah, what's your question
okay,
for me? Okay,
you are turning 39 in a few days.
Uh-huh.
Actually, 2.5 days, I would say, mm-hmm. at this point. You're going to be 39, mm-hmm. 1 year away from 40. How Are you proud of what you've accomplished in your 39 years? Do you wish you had done more? How do you feel overall about how your life is at 39?
Well, it is a mixed bag. If you'd asked me 2 years ago, 2013, I probably would have felt like I was failing in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, just working a job that didn't pay much. It was a good cause, but it just didn't pay much. And so financially, I felt like I was letting our family down. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, I felt like I wasn't doing much. But also where I was working, you know, in 2013, there wasn't room for upward growth. And so like there I was kind of in a dead end. You know, the organization I was in didn't see me as somebody who would move up. They were, you know, I was just the guy who was a good face to put out there in public, but they didn't see me as a future leader. They didn't see me as a future director. And I noticed that a lot of my college classmates were, you know, they're VPs, they're directors, they're entrepreneurs. They've started businesses. They've written, you know, books. They're doing stuff, and they took their degree and they started accomplishing things at a young age. And so on a professional level, I felt like I wasn't really doing very well. The one area where I felt like I've had the most success is with our family. You know, mm-hmm. that, you know, I may not have the finances. I may not have that career that my classmates have, but one thing that I do have that I would trade for nothing is the relationship you and I have. Mm-hmm. Our ability to talk things out, our ability to just be cute and silly with each other.
Sometimes we can't talk things out. Not right away.
Not right away. No, no. Yeah. And I think we do the right thing there too. Like if we can't talk it out, we just step back, which helps me because you're usually able to put your words together very quickly, especially when you're emotionally charged. Me, I need to sit back and just figure out, why am I angry? Why am I upset? What bothers me about this? And put that into words first. And then come to you humbly and say, okay, I'm sorry I was upset earlier. Now I understand why I was upset. This is why. But there are a lot of couples who don't get that far, or they completely shut down and they don't talk to each other at all. And you've told me about couples that go through that. Mm-hmm. And you know, another thing I'm really happy about is the relationship I have with our kids. You know, Emma's always asking me to play with her. Jacob, not as much, but he likes me to just kind of hang out with him and
yeah,
just let him do his thing, but hang out next to him.
You know what I keep on thinking about is that a lot of the people that we know and hang out with are like 10 years older than us, mm-hmm. or, you know, a significant amount of years older than us. So, you know, yeah, they're big and successful now, but, you know, that's where we'll be when we're that age also. So I feel like I'm pretty proud of what you've done in your 39 years, especially these last couple of years with going back to school and working full time at a job that was really crappy, and you know, and now you're really being recognized for your strengths at your new job.
Yes.
It's great to see you so happy.
Yeah. I know. Oh yeah. The rest of my answer, fast forwarding to now, I'm starting to see all those years of work and experience coming together. So like you said, you know, 2012, 2013, I went back to school, picked up a master's degree in educational technology, instructional design. And, you know, then there was frustration from 2013 to 2014 because I wasn't doing much with it.
Yeah.
But just recently, you know, got picked up as an education consultant. And, you know, it's not just the degree and seeing that I remembered stuff from it and I get to apply it that's made me happy. It's the over 10 years of adult education, adult learning, at corporate training, even going back to the Army, you know, doing training for the Army. Seeing those experiences and that knowledge come forward all into one big picture. And I'm thinking, wow, where did all this come from? And sometimes I feel like that character from Slumdog Millionaire, like, you know, how did you know all this stuff? And he just says, I just knew. And for me, I'm like, how do I know this stuff? And it's like, oh, I've gone down this path for the last 12 years. And if not 15 years, you know, if we count Army, you know, the Army years. And so on a professional level, you know, just in being an education consultant, an instructional designer, working in corporate training, I'm thinking, wow, you know, this has all come together. That's been the one core theme, no matter what career or job I held. Family-wise, you know, I think we have a good, strong, solid foundation. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to see where we go for the decades to come. And then even with the blog platform and the podcast, like people are coming forward asking me for advice on how to podcast. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm recording on a Samsung Galaxy S4. I'm not where I want to be recording wise with a podcast. Like, I want a mixer. I want, you know, cardioid, dynamic unidirectional mics. I want, you know, a better blog platform. Like, you know, so I'm thinking about these details, and there are people coming up to me asking for advice on how do I even get started on a podcast. And I'm sitting here able to kick out resources like Pat Flynn or, you know, Cliff Ravenscraft to them. And, you know, when it comes to blogging, I'm able to point out guys like Michael Hyatt and Jeff Goins. And I'm just like, wow, how do I know all this stuff? Oh yeah, I've been researching it for the last 2 years. I've been practicing. This is our second year of the podcast, probably my third year of having a blog. And so seeing that start to pick up momentum is really cool too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you pretty happy overall?
Yeah. Overall.
We're getting to where you want to be.
Yeah.
Right.
And yes. And I think what helps me know that I'm on the right track is I have that written vision, that written 5-year plan and the written life plan. Like, where do I want to be when it's time to bury me in the ground and Olivia Dugan and my kids and grandkids are putting together my headstone?
I don't want to bury
you. You don't?
No, I want you to be cremated.
Okay. But then you're just going to dump me off on the side of the road or in an ocean or something.
No,
And then sharks are going to choke on me in the gills.
Know. When Dee and I went to the cemetery, you know, just driving around last week, it was so sad. I would rather just have my memories of you rather than go and look at a piece of ground that you're in with, you know, your name. And
so would you keep me, like, on the mantle?
No, I'd probably take you to Disney World or something. Sprinkle you out there.
Yeah, that would be cool. Don't tell Disney, but yeah. Yeah,
I would have to do it like...
be on the slide. Bring me in one little vial at a time and keep coming back. And then put me in a little spot like, you know, take me on Spaceship Earth and dump me off with the cavemen. Or the Carousel of Progress. I don't know, throw me up there or something. Somewhere where I won't get vacuumed up.
So, your preference, but cool. I don't want to be buried.
Okay.
I'd rather be cremated.
You want to be cremated?
Yeah, I think so.
We've never had that talk. 13 Mm-mm. years. Nope. Okay. So now I know your wish is to be cremated. Can I keep you on the mantle?
Sure. Or you could don't even cremate me. Just stuff me and like put me up in the...
like a taxidermist?
Yeah.
Like, have you stuffed?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Now I'm thinking, what pose would I have? This is really morbid.
Okay, anyway,
people are like,
sorry.
Dude, the Dugans are weird. Yeah, we are, but it's okay. We love each other. All right. So let's see. I asked you a question. You answered it. You asked me a question. I feel old. Thank you. And we're already talking about death and cremating. And
that's 50 more years, Jerry.
Yeah, okay. Good, good. And medicine's getting better.
Maybe 55.
We might be like really old and like... bedridden at 120 years old, controlling like a city from our minds.
I don't want to do that. Okay. I don't want to be bedridden.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we go, I wanted to mention that I recently created the audio version of Strength Revisited. So I'm actually talking to you, the listener, because Liv knows I created this. So Strength Revisited takes a look at how we define strength in manhood. I had an ebook version out for about a year, and it had a few downloads. It didn't have as many downloads as I thought it would, but I had a few friends say, hey, Jerry, make an audio version, put it out there, we'll download it. So I did, and I put it up about, 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. And already it has over 2.5 times more downloads than the ebook does. Like, no one's downloaded the ebook itself since November. But in the last couple of weeks, 2.5 times downloaded more than the ebook. So if you're interested in downloading the audio version of Strength Revisited, which is based on my Corpus Christi TEDx talk on redefining strength and manhood, go to my blog, therealjerrydugan.com. Click on the tab that says My Ebooks, and there will be a link there that says download the audio version. So, and I'll also just put that link directly into the show notes of this episode, episode 47. Liv, you have anything you want to say before we go?
We will get to talk about Jacob and what he's doing pretty soon because he's starting, I think track practice starts up this week.
Oh, that's right.
And so last year he did the field portion of track, shot put and discus.
He wants to run this time.
Yeah, and he kind of regretted that because it's not what he wanted to do. He wants to run, and he's pretty good. He told me that they were running Coach Sweet was killing them on Tuesday or Monday, and he came in third place.
Yeah.
Even after like wanting to throw up and, you know, that it was hard.
Apparently, so he's a good distance, like, sprinter.
Yeah.
Like,
he should have done cross country, but that was at the same time as football. Yeah, so
that's true.
I'm thinking he'll do cross country in high school. But anyway, yeah. Starting track. So we'll be able to talk about his track events and track meets and stuff. And baseball. But that's not till March.
Yeah.
So we won't just talk about Emma. We'll be able to talk about Jacob too.
Yes, our boy. We love him. He's in the next room playing Xbox. All right. Well, thanks for listening to episode 47. And we'll catch you on 48.
Bye.
Bye. If you like what you heard in episode 47 of the Family Time Q&A podcast, go to iTunes where you can subscribe, rate, and review this show. Olivia and I talked about the Family Life Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaway. I want to leave you with some more information. In just a moment, Dennis Rainey, founder of Family Life Ministries, will share with you why you should attend a Weekend to Remember with your spouse and what you can expect while you're there. When you go to familylife.com/weekend, use group name Corpus Christi and get a discount on your registration. Thanks for listening, and may God bless you and your family.
Hi, I'm Dennis Rainey, president of Family Life, and I'd like to invite you to attend the upcoming Weekend to Remember in your area. Now, I know that many of you have never been to a marriage conference like this before, but what I'd like you to do is think of this weekend like the maintenance you perform from time to time on your car. Tires need to be aligned, oil changed. If not, you know, you're in for trouble. Perhaps it's time to do a little marriage maintenance. The Weekend to Remember is a whole lot of fun, it's romantic, and it'll equip you in the major areas of your marriage. Areas like communication, resolving conflict, understanding your role as a husband and how you can love and lead your wife and family spiritually. How you as a wife can better encourage and respect your husband. Come and experience a life-changing Weekend to Remember with your spouse. Your marriage is worth it. For more information on what you'll experience at the Weekend to Remember and how you can register online, go to our website or call 1-800-FL today.